Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We are into hour number two of a Graybar Sports Open Line. It is a Strike Zone hour, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight. And then once we wrap up, we are going to hand things off to our good friend Jen Cease, as she's got City Spotlight tonight from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We'll try to have her on in our final segment if we're able to get her in here. But her job tonight is to explain how in the world City can play a man up almost an entire game or three quarters of a game, have the second most shots in the history of the league, and still play to a 1-1 tie. That is the question of this pad. Like that, I'm no soccer guru. I'm no soccer expert. I know enough to know, man, that was not good. So we'll have Jen, hopefully. I'll ask her that. That's going to be, maybe I'm going to steal the thunder from her entire show, because that's going to be the question that I ask her when she walks in here. Or she's listening right now and she doesn't want to actually answer that question because she's going to save it for her show and she's not going to come in, and that's okay too. I'm kidding about that. She'll always come in. She's good. Anyways, a little bit Cardinals here, and then we've got a few more guests to get to coming up. I'm excited for our next guest. We're going to talk with the athletic director at Missouri State. I love talking with athletic directors. They're some of my favorite people to be able to discuss things with. I'm enthralled by the business of athletics, and I don't think it is any more compelling than what we're seeing in the world of college athletics right now, with just the changing nature of college athletics. And then when you have a university that is moving from the FCS level to the FBS level, while all the other stuff is going on at the same time, I just think it's really, really interesting. So that's going to be coming up here in a little bit more than 10 minutes here on KMOX. Kevin and I on the Redbird Rush Hour, we talked a lot about what the Cardinals are doing right now from an offensive standpoint, more like what they're not doing right now from an offensive standpoint. Because, and I think I saw Bernie had this over at STL Sports Central, just the conversation about if the Cardinals would have done just a little bit more, or done things just a little bit differently, where would they be right now? And it's a legitimate question, because like people are talking about this team like they are some terrible bottom of everything team, and they're not. They're three games under 500, so they're in the neighborhood of 500. That's not terrible. It's not good, but it's not terrible. They're what, 4.5 games out of a playoff spot. They're probably not going to be a playoff team this year, but they're not buried in the standings. And you start to play some things out in your head. 4.5 games out of a playoff spot. Well, what if they would have cut the cord on Eric Fetty a little bit sooner? What would it look like then if they would have gone to Michael McGreevy? Because they've won, what, 9 of McGreevy's 14 starts, I think it was. And yesterday he pitched a whale of a ball game. First time that they've lost a back-to-back of his starts. So, yeah, I'm not saying completely replace Fetty for McGreevy from day number one. That's not logical. So, and Fetty had an okay start to the season. Like, and you would have let it play out a little while he struggled. But at what point in time, because we were talking about it on this show and other shows, where it just became pretty clear that Fetty really wasn't giving you an opportunity to win ball games. If they would have cut the cord on Fetty sooner than they did, well, how many more wins do they have? And I guess it depends on when they would have cut that cord and everything that would have played out there. But I think it's safe to say they could have two or three more wins, depending on when they would have done that. This team has three more wins. They are a game and a half out of a playoff spot right now. Do you feel differently about the Cardinals if they're a game out of half a playoff spot? I think so. Would have it looked different if the offseason would have turned out a different way? What if they would have gotten Nolan Arenado moved? Because Arenado was not very good offensively this year for the Cardinals, hasn't been. He had an okay start to the season. He fell back quickly. Now, Nolan Gorman has had a pretty solid season based off a number of metrics. If you're only judging him on batting average, then you're yelling at your radio right now telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about because he doesn't have a good batting average. But that's not the way he produces. That's not his production by all other metrics. Gorman's had a nice season. If you would have had Gorman over at third, is there another win or two in there? Because he got more time? Because there was a long stretch this year where Gorman just wasn't playing. Now, I try to be fair when I always present these things. And Gorman was not very good up until about June 1st. So maybe Arenado outperformed him. Like if you could hop back in the DeLorean and, you know, run two alternate universes together and look at the alternate universe of Gorman being the everyday third baseman from day one based off, and then compare that to what Arenado actually did, is there a scenario where Arenado outplays Gorman for the first couple months of the season? Yeah, absolutely, because Gorman was still working on some things. So it's not a really easy thing to say. You can't like put Gorman's overall numbers for this year and then try to just insert them into all the games that Arenado has played and say, well, if it would have been Gorman over Arenado, what would that look like? It just doesn't work that way because there was a process to Gorman getting to where that swing has looked a lot better. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think there's definitely some alternate, you know, realities, some alternate scenarios that you can play out and say, hey, if this would have gone this way, if this would have gone that way, things would have looked a little bit different. And maybe this team is right there. And maybe if this team just wouldn't have had all the stuff about the runway season, if they would have expressed a desire to play as many young players as possible, but at the same time would have tried to do more to add to the roster in the offseason. Now, I've never been one call. And let me be clear. I'm not retroactively saying they should have done that either. I understood what they were trying to accomplish this year. I would argue how much they actually were able to accomplish that this year, but I understood what they were doing. But if they would have taken a different path, if they would have had the approach that they had more, say, in 2024 when they are bringing in major league guys for the roster, does it look different this year? And I think it possibly does. That's the way things go sometimes, and you just have to find a way to deal with it and move forward. Let's build the future with Graybar. Graybar is a great place to work. It's headquartered in St. Louis. Quick update on where J.J. Weatherholt is at, because he had a non-baseball issue that was keeping him off the field where he didn't play for about a week. He got back into the lineup yesterday and went 0-for-4 in a game against Jacksonville. He had one walk and he scored a run. So overall, for Weatherholt, his AAA numbers, he is hitting .314 over 39 games and has an OPS just a tick below 1,000 at .997. And I would say that barring something kind of crazy happening, we are not going to see him with the Cardinals before this season comes to an end. We'll take a break, and when we return, excited for this conversation. We're going to talk some Missouri State athletics, not just what's going on with the football program, which is pretty cool, but from an athletic department standpoint overall. The athletics director at Missouri State, Patrick Ransdell, he is set to join us coming up in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for another 40 or so minutes here on KMOX. It's an exciting time right now, I think, for Missouri State Athletics. Right now, the world of athletics, everything is changing, and Missouri State certainly changed some things as they moved from the FCS level to the FBS level in football and joined Conference USA. And right there, along for the ride, a guy who just marked his one-year mark since taking the job. He is their athletics director, Patrick Ransdell, and he joins us right now on KMOX. Patrick, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, just mentioned you just passed the 1 year mark. I got to think this year has been quite the whirlwind for you.
That's the short answer, but yeah, it's been a long year, but it's been so much fun, and getting to know Springfield and Missouri State has been wonderful. I think there's one of the things I took this job for was the amount of potential that I think that we had. And I think we're about to start realizing that.
Yeah, so your predecessor was the one who kind of led the decision along with university administration in making the move from a great home in the Missouri Valley Conference to going to Conference USA and getting to go into the FBS level. And that wasn't an easy move, especially with the Valley being located inside of the state and everything. So somebody else and another group of people kind of make that decision. You come in to implement that decision. What has that been like for you?
Well, it's been an interesting time to do it, right? I mean, us in Delaware are doing this move at the same time, and I'm not sure anybody would have had it harder than we are going to have it because, now you got rev share, you got the NIL space, you got all this stuff. Even, rev share didn't exist one year ago, when, maybe some people like Jacksonville State or Sam Houston made the move. So to do it right now is certainly an interesting time to do it, to say the least. And so we're just taking it day by day, and we're trying to make the best moves possible. There's been a lot of things that we've needed to adjust at our football facility. Really, almost every other sport is going to be good to go in Conference USA. But certainly our football program needed some work, needed some touch-ups around the stadium. We've put about $11 million into Plaster Stadium before we kick off here on Saturday. So it's been a lot, but it's been great. And it's I really think it's just the beginning of some of the stuff that we need to do over the next 5 to 10 years.
Is that a daunting task because of how much needs to be done for you to do it the right way? Is it a fun task because you kind of have this palette of stuff where you can do things?
Yeah, I look at it more as a fun task, right? I mean, I think most people are realistic with your move to FBS, right? I mean, most teams, it takes a little while to get going. I think JMU kind of spoiled everybody. But it's so much fun. I mean, there's so much to do, and Springfield in general is just so hungry. And I'm sure the Bears who are in St. Louis are hungry to watch a winner and to feel that sense of pride. So that keeps us going every day, and it's been great so far.
All right, so anytime I look at somebody in athletic administration's resume and I see Central Florida on it, I say to myself, that's somebody who's probably pretty good at thinking outside the box, because Central Florida is known for being kind of an innovative university in the way they do things from an athletic standpoint. How much does the fact that you spent some time there and maybe you're shaped by some people there help you as you're trying to do all these things right now in Springfield?
I'm not sure I'd make a decision at any point in time without thinking back to kind of thinking in my head, all right, what we would have done at UCF. So when I was there, it was 2016 to 21, I believe. So it was the 2 years of Scott Frost, the 2 years or 3 years of Josh Heupel, and 1 year of Malzahn. And we had Johnny Dawkins as our basketball coach. We really had it rolling. Danny White was the AD, who's now at Tennessee. And we had actually several ADs on his administrative staff now, Scott Carr at FIU, Eric Wood was at La Tech for a little bit. I could go on. And so we had such a good staff I'm not sure I could write a book on the whole 2017 season, with the win in the Peach Bowl versus Auburn, and our national championship.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a fun time. Was that, being around that, declaring the national champions, obviously that caught a lot of attention.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, at the end of the day, when we made that, we started really talking about the possibilities in really early November of that year. And we needed a lot of things to play out in our favor, and they did. And we had to go take care of business on the field. But you beat a team who beat the national champions and the college football playoff, or I call it an invitational at that time, right? It wasn't really a playoff. It was fun, and we had a lot of good moments during that moment in time, and we even paid out the national championship bonuses to Scott Frost while he was at Nebraska.
Interesting. One game does not make a transition, but how gratifying was it that the football program was able to pick up their first FBS win on the road at Marshall this past Saturday and did so in a pretty dramatic fashion?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, the coaches, the team, I mean, everybody was just over the moon. And we left USC, obviously, out there in L.A. in the Coliseum, and I know the score didn't look good, but if you went back and actually looked at the tape, I left there thinking, like, we were in a lot of really, really good positions. They just had guys who were five-star athletes who ran 4.3 40s, and they kind of, got away from us. So, I felt like if we cleaned up some stuff, and the coaching staff did it, we just cleaned up some stuff, we were in some good positions. And then we did that when we played a more like opponent, as I'll say, right? When, Marshall looks a heck of a lot more like us than we maybe look like USC. So, so we went there, got the win, probably even left some points on the field. I think our confidence is so high right now. And obviously with an SMU team coming in here that, preseason top 25, college football playoff team last year, and we get them in Springfield. It's a really unique opportunity for us to play on national television. It was 1981 was the last time Plaster Stadium was on national television. So I think I tweeted out today, I think it was about 16,000 days since the last time we were on national television at home in Plaster Stadium.
Forgive my ignorance on this, but is there a story behind getting SMU to come into Springfield?
That was done right before I got here, but I think it has a little bit to do with, when they made their move to the ACC, I think they had a couple of holes. We were moving up, we had some holes. It was just one of those things that really, kind of ironically worked out. So we're reaping the benefits of that now, and in terms of our season ticket sales, which is at records, hopefully, we got a couple more tickets to sell, but we'll hopefully get a sellout this weekend, and it'll be quite the day in Springfield.
How do you, as an athletic director, make sure that while so much attention does need to go on football, especially with what you're going through right now, that at the same time that you continue to give the attention to the other sports that need something from you as well?
It's a delicate balance, right? Because, if you know us and you know our history with, both of our basketball programs, our basketball programs have been supported in this town for decades, and people are really, really passionate about basketball. So it's certainly by no means are we going to forget all of our other sports, even Joey in baseball, who can step into Conference USA and compete for championships. But I love what Coach Martin has put together, a St. Louis guy. We've got a true freshman point guard from St. Louis. He looks the part. I've watched this in practice. We don't even resemble remotely what we had last year. So I'm really excited about that program. And our Lady Bears, obviously a historic program, been to a Final Four, you know, the Jackie Stiles era, and we've been to several Sweet 16 since. You know, we are going to compete for a championship right away in Conference USA. So I'm really excited what Beth Cunningham's got on the floor this year. So I know we're very football-centric at the moment, but we're going to try and be in everything school and make sure that we're good across the board.
There are still there are hurt feelings, I think, from some, maybe not Missouri State fans, but fans of Missouri Valley basketball. And obviously the Valley holds a huge spot here in St. Louis about some of these rivalries that don't exist anymore. And generally we see, you know, we saw it with Missouri and Kansas. They got back on the football field this past weekend. Sometimes it takes a little while, but is there a desire, especially from a basketball standpoint, to at some point maybe reignite some of these rivalries that have gone away because you're not in the Valley anymore?
100%. And I've already talked to a couple of ADs, and I know there's an appetite for it, especially with a few schools. So we certainly want to continue to play in the non-conference. Schools like Southern Illinois, Illinois State, Drake, UNI. I mean, these schools have gone down over the past couple of decades with some great moments. And we certainly want to continue that. So I know from our perspective, we certainly want to get back to scheduling some of those schools and some home and homes and get them on the field because our fans recognize those brands and those mean something to us, and they mean something to the Valley, and the Valley means a lot to us. I know we may not be in that conference anymore, but that conference is a great conference, and it's still part of our history. So we certainly want to continue some of those.
I'll finish you off with this. And just as you look at the big picture and the long-term picture, what's the ceiling for Missouri State Athletics? Is it where you're at right now, getting into Conference USA and then being an FBS team? Is it getting to a point where people look at Mizzou and Missouri State, you know, very, very similar? As you look at the very long-term idea here in the city of Springfield and what it can support in terms of the university, where do you see this thing going?
I see it's growing, and I'm not going to put a cap on it, but you know, these days and age, and with college athletics and all the movement that's happened just over the last few years, there's going to be more movement at some point once you get toward the end of some TV contracts and 30, 31, 32, 33, something like that. And we're going to have to see how college athletics plays out. Right now, you know, there's a lot of states have multiple FBS institutions, and now Missouri's got two of them. So we're just excited about that. And at the end of the day, you can't really do anything unless you take care of business in the here and now. So that's what we're going to focus on. Make sure that we go out there, compete in Conference USA, win some championships, and make us a desirable institution.
It's going to be a historic day coming up on Saturday. First home game for Missouri State as an FBS team, and they bring in a team that's been in the top 25 this year, SMU. That's going to be a 2:30 kickoff. Tickets still available at MissouriStateBears.com. Maybe worth the drive down to Springfield coming up on Saturday. Patrick, thank you so much for this time. I really do appreciate it, and hopefully we can check in with you every once in a while.
I would love to. Appreciate you having me on. And for all the Bears in St. Louis, come on down to Springfield.
All right, very good. That's Patrick Ransdell, athletics director at Missouri State University. And they've got it's been fun to watch what they've had going, for sure. And getting that win at Marshall this past weekend, first FBS win, and now hosting SMU this past weekend. Really good stuff going on in Springfield. Another break. We'll come back, and Kevin Ryans from Channel 2 and Channel 11 will join us. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We've got about 23 minutes left in the show, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. At 8 o'clock, Jen Cease is going to be in here with City Spotlight, so you'll definitely want to stay for that. Right now, happy to welcome onto the program, he's our very good friend. You see him on Channel 2 and Channel 11. He is Kevin Ryans. He's on Twitter, at @OfficialKevRy. Kevin, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Matt, how's it going, man? So good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to be able to talk to you as well. We got a few things we want to talk about with you. We'll start with the Cardinals. They got themselves back to 500. Then they went to Seattle, and they just really couldn't hit, especially yesterday. 2 for 22 with runners in scoring position. There's not a lot of time left in the season. 99% chance that this team is not a playoff team. What are you taking away from this club right now as they kind of play out the string and try to win as many games as possible?
While it was a struggle over in Seattle earlier this week, you know, I actually feel pretty encouraged about the Cardinals and the way they played. They had the Giants, who were a postseason team, and they were able to beat them a couple of times over the weekend. I thought that was pretty encouraging, trying to play spoiler there. And you know what? I think the Cardinals have done everything that they needed to do this season. I know it's disappointing to watch if you're a fan. Team has only 72 wins, and you know, most likely not making the postseason. Though the Mets are trying to make it easier for some of the people below them to try to catch them and everything. But you've seen the development of a guy like Mason Lynn. You've seen the development of Victor Scott. You see a guy like Michael McGreevy come up and pitch well. Matthew Liberatore is having a career year. Struggled recently, but he's having a career year as well. I'm very encouraged, and you know, I really do think that Ali Marmol is right. You know, you're not seeing the quit that you might have seen in previous teams that had really high expectations. This team continues to play baseball. They give you a competitive game. I know the last few nights, not necessarily what you want to see as a Cardinal fan, but they give you a good game, competitive, and I think, for the most part, that's what you want to see. Continue to be young and hungry, and the Cardinals have shown that. So encouraged, though disappointed. This is St. Louis. It's a championship town, and you want to see that in the near future.
Any thoughts on whether or not Mason Wynn should actually be out there playing on that meniscus tear?
I think the Cardinals are doing the wrong thing by letting him continue to play. And I get it. Not a couple of weeks left. The surgery is already planned. Why not try to finish it strong? He's had a really nice year for St. Louis. He does it all defensively. We know he wants to play every day. You see the warrior mentality in him and going out there. I just feel sometimes you got to save a player from himself. And I just don't want to risk the potential of more injury. So I'm a little confused as to why they're continuing to let him rock. But, I definitely and commend the heart of Mason Wynn wanting to be out there with his team through it all.
It is always good when area college football teams are performing at a pretty high level. And we've got two of those right now. Obviously, Missouri coming off just a huge win against Kansas this past weekend. They're into the top 25 at 2-0. You've got Illinois that looks like a team that could get into the college football playoff. They're now ranked in the top 10. Sometimes football kind of catches us by surprise when we're in the throes of baseball season. But right now, for our two teams in the area that play at the highest level, they're performing at a pretty high level.
Yeah. And I loved Illinois' resolve going to a Power Four school in Duke and winning on the road. I think it's so important to build that kind of victory over there, a game that you should win. But still, going out there and simulating that early on in the season, that can only bode well for them as they go into what it will be a really tough Big Ten year. And for Missouri, I wasn't sure what they would get with all the people leaving and Brady Cook and guys like Luther Burden. And they've had to reconstruct a little bit of that offensive line as well. Defensively, they had guys out there already. I knew that defensively they'd be okay. But to stop all over Central Arkansas as much as they did, and then to show the resiliency, come back a few times against Kansas, who played them very well. I don't think we should, snip at Kansas. I thought they played a really good game, and I thought they came to compete in a rivalry game. To be in that setting, to be able to go out there and compete well and win those games is very encouraging for the Tigers. I know they have Louisiana this week, but then, sooner or later, they're going to be in that tough SEC slate. So, very encouraged by what I've seen from Illinois and Missouri.
You're a Syracuse guy. What did you think of them running wind sprints? Fran Brown not happy after they got that win against UConn.
Uh, I saw Greg Olsen was saying that it was all for show or whatnot. I just totally disagree with that. I think Fran Brown means business. You know, this is the guy, he says, you know, winners get washed, right? So apparently he doesn't take showers after they lose. This is the guy that wants to win and knows that Syracuse should beat UConn. When I was over as a student over there at SU, they stomped all over UConn, and they weren't nearly as talented, didn't have as many talented recruits and did not have the expectations that this Syracuse team does. So I loved it. I loved it. And you know what? They were able to grind it out a win, too. It's a good example to show, and you win the ball game, too.
Final thing for Kevin Ryan's, a friend from Channel 2 and Channel 11. Blues prospect camp getting underway. They'll play a couple games. The prospects will against the Blackhawks and the Wild prospects coming up over the next few days. And then training camp is going to be underway. We're like 9 or 10 days from their first preseason game. It feels like of all the area professional sports, feels like the Blues are the ones right now that it's probably the reason to be most optimistic about, or they are the team that you should be most optimistic about. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, how could you not be? They have the right coach in place. I know it took them a little bit to get to that point. It got some serendipity with Jim Montgomery getting let go over in Boston, but. Wow, the great coach, and then a young team that was able to find itself late in the season and battle the way they did into the postseason, and they were seconds away from moving on to the second round. How could you not be encouraged and excited for what's to come here with the St. Louis Blues?
Yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Kevin Ryans, he is a sports reporter, KTVI Fox 2, Channel 11 as well. You follow him on Twitter at Official Kev Ry. Kevin, always appreciate the time. Hopefully I'll see you real soon.
Yeah, I hope so too, man. It's always great seeing you out in the event, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, very good. That's Kevin Ryans joining us. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. One more break. We'll come back, and we'll get you ready for tonight's City Spotlight. Jen Cease is going to be with us. That's next right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Gray Bar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line, we will not have a show tomorrow night. That's because the Cardinals are going to be back in action. What's on Deck is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best. Cardinals-Brewers three-game series beginning tomorrow. Cardinals are going to be sending Andre Pallante tomorrow, then Sonny Gray and Miles Michaelis. Quinn Priester, Brandon Woodruff, Jacob Mizorowski, the three that are going to go for the Brewers. When we get done here in just a few minutes, it's going to be a City Spotlight hosted by Jen Cease. We'll get a preview right now. Hi, Jen.
Hi there. On the stream, I'm Kevin Wheeler.
Okay, that's good.
He sits really low in this chair. This is the lowest to the ground
does
ever.
Does he have short legs? Would that be
why? I don't
why?
Know, but I sat down. Okay. I was like, whoa. There's extra space to
all right.
go.
Okay, I always have my chair high up,
no,
and I think it's because
really?
Of my light.
You don't say. Remember the photo I
yes,
took when I had
know.
To take over your desk?
Yeah.
Your standing desk?
And I
desk?
Love that photo. When I sent out a tweet about you hosting Sports Open Line, I used
Every
that
time,
photo.
Every
time, anytime I use a photo of somebody else, I'm like, I try to look at it in the most, like, is there any, I've learned this from my wife, because I know my wife, and my wife is beautiful, most beautiful woman
I've
in the
met
world.
I've met her, she is.
Yes. So, but I know there's some photos she just probably doesn't want out there of
right.
her. So I have
my daughter is particular as well.
Through marriage, I have learned if you are going to post a picture of somebody, make sure it is a photo that they would be okay with being posted. So I remember that day, like, I was a total stalker. I was like on your Facebook. I was on your Twitter. I was looking through photos. I was like, what's the photo that Jen would be okay with me using?
Well, I did put it out there publicly, so it's fair game,
right? Okay, I guess so. All right, so here's the question.
You should have prepped me before you did this.
City plays three quarters of the game a man up.
That's right.
I believe their shot total was the second highest shot total in the history of Major League Soccer.
It was like 41 on the night, I think, or 42.
Their expected goal in that situation, depending on what metric you're looking at, somewhere between 3.5 and 5.
Yes.
How did they not? How'd they score one goal? How'd they not win? How'd they tie? Like, how?
Yeah,
how?
Their shots on goal were like 14 or 15. So you look at those quality shots on goal or quality shots, right? So you look statistically, another goal should go on. The number of times our analyst, Dale Shilley, who we'll talk to today, you know, was like, oh, because it's going to happen. I can't even tell you on every highlight that we had. Because statistically, you feel the build. One should fall.
Yeah.
I give a lot of credit to the fill-in goalkeeper who came in with no warm-up, coming in having to do in 75% of the game. He was pretty nails. I'll give him that.
It's just, and I'm not trying to beat up on City. I'm really not.
I mean, in any other scenario, at least one more goal falls.
Yeah.
I think.
And I to what you just said, sometimes you watch games, it doesn't matter what the sport, and all of a sudden, a big basket, a big hit, a big goal, whatever, and you have like this, okay, we felt this coming.
Yes.
So what a letdown when you feel it coming and it never actually shows up.
Yeah, it's a tie, right, that feels like a loss. That is not a tie that feels like a win or a tie. It feels like a loss. It should have been in City's hands. They were doing so well up until that point. And then Dallas is a team that likes to pack it in the box, so they did so even more. Sometimes I will tell you from just experience in playing, either playing a man down or playing against a team that is a man down, you think it's going to be easier than it is, but they become so defensive and so hard to break that they then just look for the break, and that's what they did.
What was your thought when they go down a man that early at that moment? Oh, what were you thinking?
Well, we got this. One, we got this. Two, it's a goalkeeper. So I'm hoping that we can catch that goalkeeper cold. Didn't know he was going to be as heroic as he was in many of the cases. I mean, again, kudos to him. But thought, for sure, we're going to open this game up. It's going to be several goals. Maybe City can actually have a clean sheet as well, which we haven't had in very many games. And it did not go that way.
I've asked this question to a few people lately, and again, I'm really not trying to be a jerk in the way that I say this, but we've seen a lot of really close games. So when any sport you play a close game, you start doing the post-mortem of what are the small things that happened in the game that could have pushed this in the other direction. So when you're losing 3-2, three straight games, where are the moments? So you're always able to come out of that and say, well, you know what? It actually wasn't that far away from being 3-2 in the other direction or something like that. That is the narrative coming game after game after game. Are we at a point where it's just like, this is just kind of who they are? And yeah, you can look at every game and say, okay, there were some things that if they would have gone different, it could have gone different, but we're past the point of expecting those things to go different, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, having, what, 5 games left of the season, I would say, yeah, if they don't take Montreal and punish Montreal for already being eliminated, making the case that, hey, we are down there, but we are not Montreal right now, I think you do kind of set the tone maybe for the next few games because their schedule doesn't get any easier. And then you look then to the season, the postseason, and after that to hopefully start anew next year.
And they can be officially eliminated this weekend,
that's right,
can't they?
I believe so.
I mean, that's going to happen. It's not, you know, that's...
We're still 2 points ahead of LA Galaxy because we both got ties, but yeah, it's right there.
Yeah. Well, what do you have coming up on the show tonight?
Yeah, so Dale Shilley will join us. We've got some audio from David Critchley talking today. I'd like to hear Critch's thoughts. We'll get Matt Rocchio on the show.
Okay.
He's going to fill in for me this weekend. I'm going to Dallas, so I won't be on the City game. Matt Rocchio from STL Sports Central is going to be on, do his thoughts, and then an interview with Celio Pompeu.
Okay, very good. Well, I'll be listening. That gets started here in just a few minutes after the 8 o'clock news. Thank you, Jen. So again, we will have no sports open line tomorrow night because we're going to get right into Cardinals baseball. It's going to be a 7:15 first pitch or 7:10 first pitch, I believe, in Milwaukee. So 6:15 for our pregame coverage. Kevin Wheeler and I will have you for Redbird Rush Hour. That's going to be during the 5 o'clock hour coming up tomorrow. Thanks so much. What a fun show tonight. We got a lot in here. It's been a very, very busy last couple hours. hours, so certainly appreciate everybody that was with us tonight. If you ever want to relive, rehear anything that we do, you can always find the Sports Open Line podcast. That's available at camox.com, also available on the Odyssey app. Don't go anywhere. Jen Cease has you for Soccer Spot or City Spotlight. That's up next right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.